to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall and Face to Face with Lindsay. Throw your hands up in the air.
What it is.
It's articles of news for the week of the Valentine's Day.
The Valentine's week.
What'd you get your sweetheart?
Nothing.
What?
Absolutely nothing.
Is that okay?
Am I like, I'm just so apathetic to the holiday this year. Because
the holiday
I don't,
of Valentine's I, yeah, or the I, holidays in general?
The holiday of Valentine's, I think because for me it's not really a holiday.
What, it's you don't like it because you, know no. you know it's invented by card makers?
Like greeting card
companies. We're going?
No, it's more just like, I don't need it.
I love him every day of the year.
And I show him every day. No, don't get me wrong. We could use a day where we focus on each other a little bit more.
Sure.
But I don't know. It just, I don't have to have it, I guess. Maybe it's nice to have, but I don't
What
have
about
to
your
have
husband?
It.
How does he feel about it?
He's
does
the
he
same way.
Okay.
I think he feels the pressure to do something because it's the day and he
thinks that
women expect something perhaps.
Well, and occasionally you could be one to be like, no, I don't need anything.
I'm
when
totally
in,
fine and
when in reality, you probably needed
no,
a thing,
listen,
right?
If I wanted something, I would tell him or I would drop not so subtle hints,
right?
Like
he would
pick up on it. But
as to the particular gift or just if you wanted something in general?
Yeah, just like if I want it, like if he gets me flowers, great.
Yeah.
That's like bonus.
You
but
like
if,
the flowers?
I do love flowers, yeah, because I don't really get them very often. And that says nothing about my husband. It's just like they're a nice, I get them on special occasions.
Right.
So to me, that's what they mean. And it shows you just like thought about it.
Yeah.
But even if he came home with nothing and we just had dinner together, like I wouldn't be annoyed by that.
No.
Or hold it against him or feel less than or.
What about on your birthday? Are you like that on your birthday?
My birthday is another story.
Okay.
Like bring out the whole parade. We need to celebrate the whole month.
Thank you, President Trump. Let's bring out that. Let's bring out the parade for Lindsay. Throw your hands up in the air.
Right. I want the world to stop on my birthday,
sure.
Which I don't know where that comes from. It's like to be celebrated.
Youngest kid?
No. I'm
middle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
I have an older brother.
It's something.
Pay attention to me.
It is my day. It is not anyone else's day. It is my whole day today. And in fact, the whole month of June is my month.
It's May, and it should be the entire month of May.
Are you Gemini? No, you're right before
Taurus.
Gemini. Yeah, it's your Taurus.
Yeah.
Letting out the twins, as it were. That's what they always say.
Letting out the twins?
Two different personalities with a Gemini.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't do the astrological stuff.
You should. It's crazy. Creepy.
Yeah.
It's of the devil, some would say.
It actually is like real. Like it makes sense when you study it. It's like, oh, that's why I do that?
I don't know.
It's because I'm a Taurus.
I mean, it's the same way where you go to a psychic, right? Does a psychic make sense? Maybe
Could.
That's where in your answer lies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
When you pray and receive answers, does that make sense?
In your own way, I suppose.
See?
Yeah.
Might not make sense to anyone else but to you.
That's true.
I'm not that I'm equating astrological things with God.
Maybe God invented them.
Yeah, signs from God. Could.
Yeah.
Could. You don't know. Yeah, so as far as me and my lady go.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I got her two gifts. One, which I got for free, perk of the day job.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
I'm totally that person,
no,
too.
No, but it's really nice. It's a really nice gift.
Well, it's bonus when you're like, I get a really nice gift and it's free.
Yeah, so I've been hanging on to it since December.
Nice.
I put it away in the trunk of my car and went, you know what? I'm not just going to give this to her right now. I'm going to hang on to this.
Is it Hamilton tickets?
No.
Ugh.
No, we're going to Hamilton.
Okay.
But that's not what it is.
Okay.
She won't listen to this in time.
Okay, I know what it is.
So when I was doing radio broadcasts for the Road Home Homeless Shelter,
sure.
I met the owner of Minky Couture. Mm-hmm. And we were having a conversation. She said, have you ever laid in a Minky Couture? And I made up some BS radio story about, you know, when I got divorced, the wife got the Minky and I got the, you know.
Right.
I was just being funny, right?
Right.
Having her on. Well, she comes back to the table where I was broadcasting from, gives me her business card, and on the back says, good for one, I can't remember
free
the
blanket.
Size. It's like monster. Yeah. Size Minky Couture. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I sort of put it in my back pocket and I didn't give it a thought. Well, I was out in Draper where they have a storefront for Minky Couture.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in. I was like, let's see what this thing is, right? So I went in, had the card with me. I said, this is a card I got from your owner. What is this? And they point to a part of the wall and they're like, these are the blankets that you could pick from. And I started looking at how much Minky Couture blankets cost. Do you have any idea?
Is it like $50 for the one big one?
No,
it's a lot bigger, a lot more.
it's a lot more than that.
Wow.
So I think the one I got is like 5 feet by 7 feet, right? And okay. I think it is called the Monster or the Master or the something grand.
That's
something
like an area rug, right, 5 by 7.
Right. But yeah. But they're blankets, you're right. You wrap yourself up in them. It's cold night. It's whatever. $200.
Oh my gosh. So you think your lady will like this?
Yeah, because I already, I made up some story. I don't even remember what it was. I'm like, hey, what do you think of these blankets? She's like, oh, so cute. And I'm like, yeah, guess how much? She's like, yeah, we won't be getting that. And I was like,
you're planting the
seed. Yeah, there it is. So
and
I already know she
gonna,
likes it.
You're going to look like a hero when you come back with
I mean,
the blanket.
I mean, it's
See,
all about.
If my husband got me a blanket, I would be like, thank you?
Right.
Question mark?
Right.
Like, I don't know that. Maybe once I saw that blanket, it would change.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think that she's like, oh, you know what? A blanket is going to be so great.
You know what I need? A blanket.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But, but I mean, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's soft. They're the softest blankets I've ever felt in my entire life.
And I'm sure once you have one, you're like, no. But this blanket is like different than all the other
blankets. And for those nights when I'm not around, she can wrap herself up in me.
Gross.
Via blanket form. So there's that. And then the other gift I got her, and this was great because I went into the REI yesterday to pick this one up.
Uh-huh.
We just got back from Hawaii, and whenever we have gone places like Hawaii, like Zion's, she's needed water shoes. And she's so cheap, she won't buy water shoes.
Right.
And it's like, oh, cool, what are you going to wear? And it's like a crappy pair of tennis shoes that then she refuses to get wet. I'm like, this is stupid.
Right.
So I went in, I said, hey, do you guys have your sandals out for the summer yet? They said, as a matter of fact, we just brought them out today. So I said, those. And I didn't even pay attention or care.
Right.
I got them in her size, I think.
Right.
And just was like, this is perfect. She'll come back and get what she wants. But
that's a great gift,
got the
though.
Bucks out the door.
Yeah. See, you can buy water shoes at like Walmart for like $5 probably.
Yeah, but we do like hardcore hiking.
Yeah.
And I want them to last. So.
Yeah. These are like legit water. Yeah. REI water shoes. Yeah.
They're Keen sandals.
That means nothing to me. Okay. Yep.
What is outdoors?
I know the brand.
What is hiking?
What?
I do it once a year for when I climb out of the darkness and that is it.
I like being outside.
Right?
I just don't do it. I'm not the avid adventurer.
Does your hubs do that?
See,
hiker? He seems like he would be athletic, like, babe, I'm going to go climb a mountain with the boys, that kind of thing.
Well, he's definitely athletic. He goes to the gym every morning, but I want to be a more outdoorsy person.
Why don't you? Your kids don't make as much noise in the outdoors.
It's true.
You can take them outdoors. And
it is challenging to hike, in my opinion, with a child.
How old is she?
3.
Yeah. You'd get a good backpack for dad, that's
all. Yeah, but a backpack, one, she has to be able to stay in it.
Right.
And she can voice her opinion now about whether or not she wants to sit in it.
Right.
So you get out there and she's like, no, I don't want to sit in this backpack. You're carrying an empty backpack up the mountain.
Yeah,
and then
you
got to go at toddler pace.
Sure.
Which is a lot of work. So sometimes a hike is more work than it's worth.
But you know what's,
for me.
You know what's worth it? When you wear her so far out that you get the ride home in silence and you leave her in the car in silence.
That's true. I'm sure there's many moms who do it, but this is the same reason I have a hard time walking my dog, because it's just like taking the toddler and the dog is like, oh, come on, just walk, please. Just don't. I know you want to stop and smell the roses, but I just need you to walk. I get like so frustrated. I need therapy for it, because I can't figure out why I'm so annoyed on the walks.
Well, no, because you're looking at the purpose of this walk is to walk, and that's what you can't do.
Yeah, I just need to get this done. And every time she stops to literally smell a rose, I'm just like, come on.
No, it can't
go.
Be. The purpose of anything with a kid can't be what the thing is.
I know.
We're here to watch a movie. No, we're not. We're here to not be in the house. That's
seriously.
That's what this thing is right now.
I'm a terrible mother.
No.
Just kidding.
Although I did, there's a story in the news today about some kid screaming for a 13-hour flight from Germany to Newark, and I just was like, ha-ha!
I just heard a blip of that on my way in, but I didn't hear the details of it.
They don't. I don't know if the kid has like ADD or Asperger's, so I don't want to speak any more to it.
Right.
But people were calling in and saying, you know what? Sometimes you just don't travel. If you know your kid.
That's your view on it.
No, it was more than me, so I felt justified
you
in
felt
it.
Validated.
If it's a have-to flight, okay.
Sure.
But if it is an optional thing and you know your kid will be that way, option differently.
Yeah, and I can understand that. But at the same time, and again, I'm not speaking to the specifics of this story because I don't know the details of it, but I tend to side with like, let's give them a break, because you have no idea what that mother in my...
I'm so tired of empathy.
Right? Like, you have no idea what she's feeling with.
Your understanding is ridiculous.
You have no idea how much she slept last night or didn't sleep last night. Be nice to her.
No, I'm fine with the mom, maybe. It's the
kid. Yeah, but the mom can't always control the kid.
No.
Like, you realize that kids have their own thoughts and their own feelings and their own...
Nope.
And no matter what parenting strategies you implement, there are times when your child will just scream.
Sure. But if your kid is any sort of controllable, then that crying will be brief and that's fine. Or take off, come down, your eardrums are popping, fine. Mm-hmm. But I am talking about
the entire
time flight. You can tell that there has obviously never been a moment of education, of control in that household. Please keep your kid at home.
And I can understand your perspective. but I mean, it's the same reason I won't go with my kid certain places. Yeah, because right. You just don't know.
Right. And that's no different than what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it. I understand your point.
What's new with you? You haven't been around for a while. You hate us? You cheating on us?
I do hate you thoroughly.
Okay. A lot of hatred. I've done, spewing right now.
I've done a touch of traveling.
Where'd you go?
I went to Georgia.
Okay.
My parents just moved there.
The country
there.
Or the state?
Nope, the state.
Your mom moved to the south?
Yeah, my parents moved to the south.
Okay, yeah, I guess your dad would go too.
Yeah, my dad's there too.
Why? I would think that Maine would be like the end all be all.
I know. Well, that's where I've lived my entire life.
Right.
But my dad wanted a different working situation, so okay. He took a job there, and then he's going to kind of finish out his career there, and then they'll be
cool.
In the south where he's got two sisters that are close to there.
Nice.
He golfs all the time.
Good.
So.
And it's way warmer, right?
Way warmer.
Maine is freezing in the wintertime.
Yeah, and you don't get spring until like maybe late April. Maybe.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
And now barely even any snow. How
and
did
now
you like it?
You
How did
can,
you like the new Ertz homestead?
The new Ertz digs are pretty sweet. They have a pool at their house.
Really?
Which is great. But it was too cold to swim there over the holidays. But you could definitely golf. I mean, it's in the mid-50s.
Great.
So, yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it got a little cold at times, but...
So now do you have to become a Falcons fan?
No, never. Okay. Never. I will always be a Patriots fan.
Have you Googled who owns the Patriots?
No.
Look it up right now.
Who owns the Patriots?
Yeah,
Robert Kraft?
Nope. No? Google who owns the Patriots.
Oh, is it?
And then I want you to read out loud what Google...
Okay, hold on.
What Google gets you. By the way, for people who...
Who owns the Patriots? Oh, it picked up your... Your voice
Sorry.
On that.
For people who don't know, Lindsay, throw your hands up in the air. It is a huge New England Patriots fan.
Well, when I say fan, I just mean like they're the team I will root for, but,
yeah, but
I don't
you've got, like,
I don't always pay attention.
And all that stuff.
Patriots' new owner is Nick Foles, according to Google. The man who led the Eagles to a Super Bowl win, quarterback Nick Foles, is the new owner of the New England Patriots.
Isn't that funny?
Malcolm Butler. Why didn't they play Malcolm Butler on defense? I don't understand. You know, it was a really hard thing to be with all my family in Georgia in one room and have the Patriots lose. Like, I did not process my anger for like 3 days. I was just like so upset. I was like, no, you don't understand. My whole family is together for the Super Bowl. It's my mom's birthday the next day. Like,
right.
We needed this win to celebrate. And it was very hard. I think I took it the worst.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible loser. I get so mean.
I'm a terrible mom.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
a terrible loser.
No, I'm good at life. I just am a terrible loser.
Still doing the mom show?
Yeah, still doing the mom show. Just trying to grind it out, you know.
Yeah. Like, where can people find it if they want to hear it?
Anywhere you podcast, search okay. for KSL Mom Show. And so iTunes, Stitcher, or if you download the KSL News Radio app, you
okay.
can find us there. All of our programming is podcasted.
Hour long, once a week?
Yeah, it's an hour long once a week, but I break it up usually into snackable segments.
Oh, through that podcast feed. Okay.
Yeah, so it'll usually be 4 7 to 10 minute segments just for quick, easy listening. And
cool. And because that's where the commercials fall, so you don't feel like putting it all together, but
no, no,
whatever.
No,
no,
that's not true.
Fine.
Actually, I would much rather do a full 34-minute episode
uh-huh.
and only have to post one thing and
right.
share one thing on social media.
Right.
Now I
got to
share 4
Oof.
And 4 different topics, and it's overwhelming. But I love the show, and I'm just trying to grow it, man.
Yeah.
Just doing the grind.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I got a new car.
Nice.
Yeah.
What were you driving? What are you driving?
I was driving a Nissan Altima,
okay.
and now I'm driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Well, that means another kid's on the way. Nice.
No,
yeah, that's fine.
That's not what that means.
You need a little bit more space. I know you haven't announced it to family yet, so don't worry about it. Secret's safe here.
We have been wanting to upgrade to an SUV.
We've been not
for
been wanting
while.
Another kid.
Very flustered. I am not pregnant.
It's
Stop
okay.
it.
It's all right.
Please don't start the rumor.
You two are married.
It's true.
And you love each other, and you
it's
already
true.
Have one.
It's
so
true.
You're basically strapped to that house.
So
for
everyone's just
the
waiting.
Next 15 years anyway, so what's 18 years?
Just waiting
just
on the announcement.
It's fine.
No, but I'm in love with this car. It's
what color?
So amazing. White.
Yeah.
And it has black rims.
Is it white or is it?
No, it's white. No, it's white.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It has black rims.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
I would think I was asking this question last week with Janae Manite. So you work and your husband works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Husband's breadwinner, though.
Yeah.
As far as the money that you make, do you guys throw all the money into a big pot, or does your husband go, yeah, for the things you want, take the money that you make?
We have a joint checking account, mm-hmm. and I have a joint card which pays for our family needs,
mm-hmm.
so grocery shopping and clothes for Lucy and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I make my own money that I have access to, and I have my own separate credit card.
Okay.
So I get to do what I want with that. Cool. Now, that being said, I am terrible with money.
Yeah.
And my husband is an accountant, so you can imagine things don't go...
Terrible, like you overspend?
I just don't pay attention to it. I just spend, and then I check it maybe once a month, and I'm like, oh, I got to pay this off. Crap, where's all my money?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, I don't budget very well.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of have this mindset of like, the money will come. Yeah. It'll be there, which is a terrible mindset.
Yeah. And your husband's like, hey, babe,
yeah.
How about not this mindset?
He's like, if we were in the process of talking, moving and stuff like that, he's like, if we need to tighten up our budget, you are going to hate me because mm-hmm. I'm going to be on you like white on rice. Like,
right.
Yeah. So, and I fully admit I'm terrible with money, but I do like having my own money and I don't like to be micromanaged.
Does he have his own money?
He does have his own money. Yeah.
I'm just curious. I think that's an interesting dynamic. When I was married, we both paid into bills and then we both had our own separate money beyond mm-hmm. that.
But I don't make a full-time salary mm-hmm. either. So I think if I was making a full-time salary, we might reevaluate
sure.
that. But, you know, I frankly just want him to be in charge of the money because, again, I'm so bad at it
right.
that I just, like, it's not that I can't do it. It's
right.
just that I'd rather have that be his role because that's what he's good at.
Yeah. It's stressful.
Oh, totally. And if he wanted help with it, I hope he would say to me, like, hey, I need some of this off my mental brain
yeah.
here. Like,
or like, hey, babe, maybe not buy all the things this
right.
week. Maybe, like,
don't
half the
go to Target one more time
yeah.
and leave $50 poorer.
I'm back from Target, babe. What?
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday, my sweet three-year-old, Austin, comes home from work.
Austin is your husband.
Yes. He's like, what did you do today? And he asked my three-year-old. And she's just like, well, we went to Target. We bought a sweatshirt. She listed all these things. And I was like, Lucy, stop it.
If you don't want this gravy train to cut off, you keep your mouth quiet.
And he's just like, yep, sounds about right. Sounds par for the course.
You know, talk about saving money. We're partnered now with the LDS Bookstore. Go to ldsbookstore.com. At checkout, use the one word back row. You can save yourself 10%. We know that 10% has to go somewhere else.
Right.
Save yourself 10%. It's LDS Bookstore. But there's all sorts of stuff in there.
You
can get things like
journals.
Journals. Trinkets.
Trinkets.
For like baptism. You know, you want to give something more than like dad took care of the scriptures. Mom took care of a necklace. So what are you going to bring? Well,
right.
you can find trinkets there. For that, bookmarks, ldsbookstore.com, and use the keyword back row. Save that 10%. I want to share a couple of emails real quick, and then we'll take a break and do actual articles of news. This first one is from Ludine.
Hi, Ludine.
Ludine says to me, and this is from articles of news from now a couple weeks ago. It says, you mentioned that President Hinckley was not an apostle when he was called to the first presidency, but you might like to know, says Ludine, that in September 1961, President Hinckley became an apostle. Apostle in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He filled a vacancy created by Hubie Brown, being added to the first presidency as the third counselor to David O. McKay. In 1981, President Hinckley was called into the first presidency, ironically, as a third counselor to Spencer W. Kimball. Thought that this might help. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Ludine. So that's just a correction on something that I inaccurately said before.
Like you do?
Like I sometimes do.
Like every human
I'm
being
pretty
does.
Right on the airplane, but whatever.
Is what I meant like that?
This one says, hey, Richie and crew, enjoy the show. Available in podcast form. Enjoyed Richie's interview on the Peculiar People podcast. I enjoyed getting to know him a little better and his perspectives on pushing himself to do uncomfortable things to open his mind to other points of view. Example, the interview that he did with a transgender member of the church. I always enjoy the interviews because he can ask hard questions, but with respect, with a genuine desire to know the perspectives and thoughts of his guests. As a side, Richie has set a high bar for how interviews should be conducted. The host of the Peculiar People podcast struggled a bit to keep things on track and talk about Richie and not himself. Only my ever so humble opinion. I'm sure it's not an easy thing to do. Anyway, keep up the great work. Chuck D from Mesa, Arizona. He says, P.S. Janae Manite, a bad A Wonder Woman. I love that. So
right.
if you haven't listened to last week's articles of news, have you listened to it already?
Oh, I'm sorry. behind in my podcast.
It's thing. It is a great story about Janae Monáe, where she declares herself to be a bad A Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she is.
And then PPS, he says, if Patreon is on the horizon, I'd be happy to subscribe and help keep all this great content coming. So that's from Chuck. And then this one from Kevin, and then we'll take a break and do actual articles of news. It says, hello, everyone. I've been very sick and haven't had a chance to email you all in a while. I have still been listening to the Cultural Hall show. I have a major announcement, says Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
He says, I no longer live in Salt Lake City. On Friday, February 9th, I moved to Little Rock. I'm assuming Arkansas. That's in the south by Georgia.
Arkansas.
He says, I'll be here for 9 months at a trade school for blind people. My goal is to become an adaptive technology teacher for blind people after a 9-month program that I'm in. I am really excited about it. I started school today. So far, so good. I'm still listening to the show and to the Mormon News Report, which if you subscribe to the Cultural Hall via whatever podcast you do, way of podcasting, you'll hear articles of news. That's a format like what you're listening to right now. You'll hear the Mormon News Report with Brant and Brian, and you can catch that every Monday. They publish that out, and you can also subscribe to their Patreon. Their Patreon is different than what we will do, just so
What's
people know.
What's a Patreon?
Patreon is a way that you get extra content from podcasts you love that only if you pay and subscribe you get. So it's like a members-only club.
Is it an app? Like, how do you...
You can do it through an app, yeah.
Why am I not... why do I have no idea what this is?
I don't know, but you absolutely should, because you could have the Mom Show Patreon.
Right.
Although KSL, I'm sure, wouldn't let you do it. They would take the money from the Patreon.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's a great way to fund things like we're going to do these really awesome St. Patrick's Day t-shirts as an incentive for people to become Patreon members.
Gotcha.
That say Top of the Mormon to you.
I like it.
We did them a couple years ago. We're going to bring it back and make it an incentive. All right. He says, I listen to the Mormon News Report. Oh, so check it out. That's where that was. You can also just subscribe to the Mormon News Report, but we ask that you subscribe here at the Cultural Hall's podcast subscription place. He says, I'm really excited to attend church out here in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm really curious to see what the church members are like. I want to comment on something on last week's show. You mentioned that a woman who sits next to someone that smells like cigarettes and coffee bothers one of the posters, and you shared that post on the Cultural Hall. Did you see that?
No.
So essentially was this comment on social media somewhere where this woman smells like coffee. She smells like cigarettes, and she notices that she's taking the sacrament. And then, you know, she was uncomfortable about that. The poster was uncomfortable about that.
Okay.
And, you know, the immediate thought is, well, don't judge anyone. You don't know where anyone is at. And I think the original poster's comment was, I don't know how to have this not bother me that she's taking the sacrament, right?
Right.
She knows that it's not her place to judge. Anyway, so that's context for that.
Okay.
He says, I don't think it bothers the poster that she smells like coffee and cigarettes as much as her taking the sacrament. To be honest, says Kevin, that would bother me too. This is because there are things that you just shouldn't do if you're going to partake of the sacrament. Yes, if someone is having issues with the law of chastity or things like that, likewise, they shouldn't be taking the sacrament either. I know when I confessed my sins to the bishop regarding this nature, there was a reason I wasn't allowed to take the sacrament for about 3 months. I was not made to or humiliated. It was just something I couldn't do in order to show the Lord and the bishop that I was dead serious about repenting. Here is why my view about this woman might surprise you. He says, assuming that this woman who smells like cigarettes and coffee is at church for the right reasons, it doesn't bother me one bit that she shows up to the church smelling like cigarettes. If she is really, truly trying to overcome her addiction, who are we to judge her and say that she isn't welcome here at church? That would be the wrong attitude to have. Let her come to church and get spiritually fed. Maybe over time she will overcome the cigarettes and the coffee issues. I do believe that the church is for the sinners. After all, isn't that what the atonement is about? I don't know if I've ever agreed with Kevin so much in an email before.
Yeah.
Or that I've ever agreed with Kevin in an email before. He says, that would be the wrong attitude to have. Let her be fed. Repenting for your sins. Isn't that what the atonement is about? Repenting for your sins. If she can overcome this addiction and can credit being spiritually fed at church as helping her overcome her addiction, then we have done our job. I have had people sitting next to me smell like cigarettes before. I just hope that someday they could make better choices. That's not condemning the person. I really wanted them to overcome their addiction so they could be a better member in great standing. We should not kick someone out of the church just because they might look, or in this case, smell different than us. If there are other things, we can talk about that, but that should be between the bishop and the member who is going through those issues. I will write or talk to you later. Kevin from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Well, I don't have all the context of this story, but like, what if this woman was like visiting someone? She goes every Sunday and visits someone who smokes and drinks or whatever, drinks coffee or whatever, and then goes to church right after.
Right.
Like, what if she smells because of that reason? Like, I mean, I guess it could be relatively assumed that she's doing the smoking and the drinking, but I don't know. without having all the information, I hesitate to say this, but I just feel like that is what leads to our culture of judgment,
sure,
right? Is assuming that someone is there. And even if they are doing all the things, it's like you shouldn't be there, even if you do all those things, you know?
Right. I think so. It's an interesting thing because I think the church and temple are two different things, right? I think that the requisites and having a temple recommend is different than coming to church.
Sure.
I think anyone in any situation under any circumstance should be able to come in wearing whatever or nothing. Maybe not nothing. Probably like at least a loincloth probably or something like that.
Right.
You know, but you know, the best that they can, that's sort of what I try and do. If I'm on vacation and I only brought shorts and a t-shirt, which just happened, yep, I wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
But I wore my cleanest t-shirt. I wore, you know, shorts that I had set aside that weren't covered in sweat. Went to them, went to church. It was great.
Right.
And I think that people should just be able to go there and be comfortable no matter what, no matter where they're at.
I totally agree. And when we call people out like this, I don't know, to me, that's not very welcoming.
Yep.
That's not very much like, that means you're going to be judged for what you're doing. It's not a safe place for you to just come and be authentic.
It says visitors welcome,
but
are they?
Not if you smell like cigarette smoke and coffee.
Jeez. Your words, not mine. let's take a break for a second and we'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert!
Are you suffering from excruciating headaches? Are you having a hard time sleeping no matter what you do? That old small computer screen from years ago could be your problem, exposing you to a huge amount of radiation and eye strain, leading to headaches and loss of sleep. Screens are something a lot of people overlook because they really don't break a lot, so they keep them for years. At PC Laptops, we only carry screens that we've tested on our own eyeballs. Right now, purchase any PC Laptops desktop and get a free monitor size upgrade. That's right. Buy a 24-inch, get an upgrade to 27 inches for free. We have brand new PC Laptops desktop computers from only $799, and they're covered forever with a lifetime warranty. That's right, $799 covered forever. So run into any PC Laptops location right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
Again, Articles of News, it's kind of a casual look. We talk about all things Mormon, but we, you know, we take the nonsensical, the silly topics. If you like the hard-hitting and a little dose of snark, I believe they call it, you can listen to the Mormon News Report. That comes out on Mondays. We usually have this come out like Wednesday or Thursday.
Whenever
sometime. Once a week.
Right.
I'll get it. I'll
no,
get it.
It's a lot on your plate.
Right. And
you
this week
it.
And this week we have a numbered episode coming out, number 261, where we visit with Gail Miller, the richest Utahn and the owner of the Larry H. Miller Group.
What'd you talk to her about?
She's got a book that comes out.
Okay.
It's called Courage to Be You. It's with Deseret Book, and she is a courageous, honest woman. That's what that book is about. It's
like
an easy
it.
Read, and you know, you've talked a lot about how you're terrible at lots of things.
Well, thanks for that.
Well, no, I mean, just you know, you've said that a few times.
Sure.
I want you to know that Gail Miller, the richest Utahn, thinks that same thing about herself.
Yeah,
so you're in good company, only about $1.5 billion less wealthy.
I think a lot of us feel some sense of like, we're just all trying to make it, right? Yeah. We're just hustling.
You look at her though, and maybe there's a pedestal or something. You're like, oh, but you haven't had problems like, and she tells it all in her book. It's
cool.
Not an expose, but it is an interesting look. She tells, and in the episode, you can find out about how she gets her kids to go to church, how she first had her first kiss with Larry Miller, and other great things. It's called Courage to Be You, and it's out at Deseret Book.
And everyone's experiences shape their perspective, right? So it's so fascinating. There are other people's, like, how did you get to have the mindset you have, you know?
You want to start?
What was that sigh for?
That sigh was, you don't want inside this head. That's what that was. It's interesting to know what shapes them to be the way they are.
I want to know
that. No, you don't. Yes. Not here. Not this way.
I'm fascinated by that. But the good news about that statement is that you're always in control of changing your perception.
Right. If you're not happy where you're at or not happy with how you are, you can change it.
You're in control of your thoughts. So even if you have something really bad happen, not that you shouldn't feel bad, appropriate to feel bad if something bad happened to you. But once you felt that emotion, process that grief well, then you can change your thought.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to stop judging.
Dr. Ertz.
I've studied this a lot.
I've been through my own journey. Really?
We need to stop judging other Mormons for not being Mormon enough. That is the headline on this article from LDS Living. They talk about 15-year-old Ben, who has long hair. He listens to wildly inappropriate music. He is rebellious, bitter, and has no respect for authority. Ben smokes behind the barn and slings vocabulary saltier than beef jerky. Maybe that's all true.
Way to go, LDS Living.
Perhaps this great church friend of mine, a teenager, is all those things. Or maybe he just has long hair. Let's confess, most of us have made quick judgments about people who don't fit our mental image of a modern-day disciple of Christ. Too often, we want white teeth, short hair, crisp shirts, light makeup, and maroon minivans.
Maroon is the color?
I guess.
I would have thought it would have been silver or white, but okay.
I personally like my white with black
Rams
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
We got it.
Anyways, this article goes on to just talk about how we should, as Christians, stop judging Christians for not being Christian enough.
Yeah. Oh, but he's not Christian enough.
Right?
What is that statement?
I know. I've just found lately, I've seen this pop up in my life multiple times, where anytime I think I have a judgment of someone, even a well-meaning judgment,
right,
I get to know them a little bit better and I'm always wrong.
So wrong.
Always wrong.
So
right?
wrong.
Yeah. And even to the point where that judgment actually hurts that person. Like I have a good friend in my ward who I just perceived her as, you know, the Molly Mormon that got it all done. She was the person, and I came to learn she's struggling with a lot of things.
Let's talk all about it. No, I'm just
kidding. And I just it just reminded me that even my perception of her was one that she didn't like. She didn't like being viewed as the person that always got people together or did the things, because it was a lot of pressure on her to organize, to handle, to do all that stuff. And so, just kind of perpetuating that.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah, that myth of her was just adding pressure to her. So just stuff like that where you're like, I'm always wrong about
those
judgments.
Say things like, you're not so great, just to help?
No, but it makes me think we all have our stuff, right? I have another neighbor friend who, you know, they are the quintessential LDS family, and everyone looks at them.
Vinyl lettering? Do they have vinyl lettering?
I don't know what that reference is, but
the vinyl lettering
probably.
In the house that says return with honor above the doorway.
Probably.
Or family, and then there's a quote underneath it.
Yes. Okay. But all their children are lovely and just so well behaved, and everyone comments on how well behaved they are. And you just look at them from the outside in and you think, how do you do it? What's the secret? Mm-hmm. How do you get your children to do that? And just talking with her a little bit more and finding out some of the struggles her children are going through, it really hurt her when people would say that about her, because she was just like, you don't know the child I'm dealing with at home. Maybe she is this way, you know, maybe she's learned how to put on a front with other people. And at home she's able to let loose a little bit, but her mom's really worried about her. So it's just again, those innocent, well-meaning perceptions of people can really be damaging.
Yeah, that's why I don't even talk to people.
Right? We all make judgments of people, right? That's what our brains are designed to do. They're designed to protect us.
Sadly.
Well, they're designed to, keep us alive, right? So we assess danger at all times. And we used to have tigers trying to eat us, right? we had to literally stay alive.
I mean, not me, but in general, humankind.
Right? And now we have emotions and mean girls. Like, yeah, we have emotions to look out for, right? And like, so anyways, just making those judgments of people just can hurt people. That's all. And yeah.
You can find a link to all these stories, by the way, at theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. So check those out. This I thought was sort of interesting. It's about a woman who, her mom, late in her life, she was adopted. Not the woman late in her life, but this woman was adopted. And her mom didn't have a DNA test done on her until much later in her life. And so it's just sort of a story, kind of like what you were talking about, a way that we can, I don't know. It's just, I guess, sort of an interest story. But it's finding a dad at like 50.
Wow. Yeah. And what that's like.
And what that's like, yeah, and experiencing. Okay. So wait, you know, the name of this guy is Rutger Warner, right? So imagine you're finding out or not finding out that you're adopted. Maybe you know the whole time, but then, you know, you decide to do the
genealogy.
Yeah. But what's the test? Why can't
the DNA test?
Yeah. What is it called though? The company Ancestry, Ancestry.com,
yeah,
you know, DNA test. And then you find out that your father has taken the Ancestry DNA test and it's like, hey, here's your dad's name. Congratulations. That's your dad. And then right, it's like, okay, so I have siblings.
Now
do I reach out to him? Am I going to, right?
Well, I think it speaks to our sense of belong, right? We all have a need to belong.
Yeah.
And when you don't know where you came from, that piece is kind of missing. But, and so to find that out.
Or did you come from who you were adopted, right? There's always that sort of piece missing, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, that natural father, I'd love to know that. Anyway, so it's a story about how she decides to meet him and put a face and a life to the name of this person who just popped up during a DNA test.
Speaking of family history, in a way, where we were kind of speaking of that, but not really.
Shoehorn it. Shoehorn it, baby.
The church is doing a Family Discovery Day event in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area.
I printed this out because I like it's called Family Discovery Day.
It's basically like,
what, I have a family? Oh!
Do your genealogy.
That's what I thought of that is literally the only reason I printed that article out.
Well, I think it's kind of a cool event. Workshops to help anyone find their ancestors. They're bringing in this like renowned genealogist. His name is Jim Eisen. And it's a free event Saturday, February 24th at the Stake Center in Tennessee. If you're in the Chattanooga area, go to that. But sometimes I need someone to hold my hand through that stuff. Like, I won't do it on my own. But then once I'm there and someone's like helping me like find a cool discovery.
Ancestor,
I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
I like the indexing. Have you ever done that before? I feel like Indiana Jones. It's where you're trying to decipher the handwriting.
Oh, yeah.
And so like on the left-hand side, it'll be like scribble, scribbly do, scribbly dee. And then you have to type out what you think it says on the right-hand side. And that's it.
That's fun.
Makes me feel like I'm a researcher in the catacombs of Egypt.
Really solving a problem.
Her name was Rutger. So I don't know where I want to end in all this. So you know what? Let's end on that story right there. No, end. So save that for right now.
A kicker. You know how they do in the news? A kicker. A light, fluffy story at the end of it.
We're going to talk about a guy who... I'll tease it too.
Okay.
I'm going to vertically tease it. We'll talk about a guy who survived a 100-foot fall. So that's coming up. You've been watching the Olympics at all?
You know what? I've been struggling with getting into the Olympics. Maybe I'm just apathetic to life right now.
Yeah, what's your deal?
I don't know. I think I like the Summer Olympics better.
Right, because it's summer?
Well, I like the gymnastics. Yeah. The track and field is interesting.
See, I would
watch.
Take you as a figure skating girl.
And you'd think I was, but I grew up playing hockey.
Okay,
so
I think I'd take you as a hockey girl.
There was some hockey on today. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to the storylines, the human interest stories that really suck you in, you know? And I don't know. I just can't get into it.
Do it. You've only got a couple weeks left.
I know. I do love the Olympics, though.
One person you should watch, a Mormon. Her name is Jessica Jensen, competing now in her second Olympics in the South Korean Pyeongchang. And it's actually Chong, I learned.
Pyeongchang?
Yeah, Pyeongchang.
We sound very educated right now.
Right? But it's not Pyeongchang.
Okay.
It's Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang.
Someone who speaks Korean said, I can't listen to the Olympics because everyone pronounces it incorrectly.
Everyone's butchering it.
Here are five facts that you need to know about Jessica Jensen. She is an Idaho native and learned to ski when she was just 6 years old. She was always sort of attracted to snowboarding. That's what she does. Started skiing when she was six. She wanted to snowboard. So at the the age of 10, started snowboarding and then started competing. She never took a lesson, and now she's in the Olympics. She will ride snowboard slope style for ladies. Number two, she admires Hannah Teeter and Tora Bright. Do you know who those ladies are?
Yeah, snowboarders, right?
Yep, and...
I have a connection to Tora Bright somehow. Somebody I knew, like sister-in-law or something.
And we also interviewed her because she's Mormon.
Oh, and that too.
Number three, she placed 13th in the 2014 Sochi Olympic Games. Number four, she makes neck warmers in her spare time.
As you do.
She makes neck warmers called J-Wow Neck Armor. Neck spelled N-E-K-K armor.
That's cool.
She says, quote, life is too short not to make the best and the most of everything that comes your way every day. So buy a neck warmer. And then number five, her hobbies include wakeboarding, mountain biking, and dirt biking when she's not on the snow. So her signature trick on the snow, a front side 720, which for people who know what that is, pretty cool.
That's a foreign language to me. But
that's two full rotations with front side down. I just did that in the bathroom just a minute ago.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either. It sounded funny, so I went for it.
Okay.
Don't envision it. No. Move along. What else you got?
Temples. We have a couple of temples being rededicated. One of them is right here in Utah, our very own Jordan River, Utah Temple.
Which means no church.
Heck yes. I mean,
I'm excited for the blessing of being able to see a temple rededication. Yeah, we get a break. May, I think. May the 20th, I want to say, is when it gets rededicated.
Yep, Sunday, May 20th.
But it's going to be a huge open house because it's in South Jordan, one of the bigger suburbs of the Salt Lake Valley. And I mean, you remember when we went to Provo City Center Temple?
Yeah.
That was a zoo.
Uh-huh.
Here in the Salt Lake Valley, there's like 1.5 million people. That thing is going to be crazy.
We are in the motherland. Saturday, March 17th through April 28th is the open house.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
So want to get
every
tickets.
Day except for Sunday.
Tickets.
That's the temple I got my endowments in.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And it'll be the first temple that my girlfriend will see the indoors of.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Houston Temple is also being rededicated. Remember, it got really damaged by Hurricane Harvey.
Flooded.
Yeah. 52 inches of rainfall late August damaged the temple. So Sunday, April 22nd. I should see if my husband wants to go because he served mission in Houston South.
You should.
So,
Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, my gosh. I'd have to book that today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
That would be really meaningful.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He really wanted to go down there when all of this was happening to help people he knew, like rebuild and clean up. And
I just gave you the greatest gift idea ever.
Greatest gift, but that's a lot of money.
What? Ow, Houston. No, see, here's what you do.
A weekend?
You pay for the airfare.
Oh, yeah.
And then you make him do the rest.
Well, no, and I'll just reach out to his mission buddy and be like, hey, Austin's coming to stay for 2 nights.
Yes.
And we're coming down to go to the temple.
Wait a minute. I felt like this is a dude trip and you...
Well, am I going to send him by himself?
Why not?
Because...
If he's got... Does he have a mission buddy down there?
Yeah, he's probably got a buddy.
Yeah. Or someone from up here that he's really still close with from the mission? You make it a dude's trip. I don't know.
Well,
maybe it's... I personally just
book trips so I can go on them.
Yeah, you just buy a ticket and then worry about the rest of it afterwards.
Okay, all right, perfect. That is a really good idea though, but I don't... Okay.
I'm the best at gifts like that.
I know. Talk about that off
here. I've got this. This is kind of interesting. The LDS Church launching a new how-to YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, I heard that. What is it like?
Well, it aims to provide simple, practical help for real life challenges. They say, quote, no matter who you are, how old you are, or what challenges you're facing, the channel's introductory video says that simple, practical help from those who have been there can help make navigating life's rough patches so much easier. The channel offers help on topics ranging from relationships to finances and even parenting.
How to mom. Please give me the video on how to mom. Please help.
How to mom.
To be a mother.
There will be new content every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and every Thursday with one straightforward goal to help you improve your life in simple, practical ways.
Very good.
Including saying things like simple without messing it up. So hopefully that will be simple.
How to talk properly.
And then this, there was in Tonga and Samoa, a Category 4 cyclone. It's called Gita. I'm not sure. G-I-T-A. 145 mile per hour winds. And that happened Sunday into Monday. All of the missionaries in Tonga and Samoa are safe. That's missionaries serving in the Samoa Apia and the Tonga Nuku'alofa mission are in fact safe. They're taking refuge in church buildings away from the coast and have taken necessary preparations to help them safe.
Lovely. Do you ever watch Ellen?
I do. Not super often.
Yeah.
Ellen is one, her and Jimmy Fallon are the two that when I see, you have to see this viral video from
them. them.
I'll watch an Ellen and I'll watch a Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, I don't. Stephen Colbert, if it's got a lot, I'll click into Stephen Colbert. Not that I don't like him.
Yeah.
But I'm a sucker for Fallon or for Ellen.
Yeah, they've got that magical thing that just makes things go viral.
Mm-hmm.
They just like know how to viral something. It's a new verb, by the way, to viral something.
back when I was in college, forget it.
That's what she said. I don't know. Okay.
It could be.
We're going to talk about a four-year-old now.
Yeah. Completely different.
Claire Ryan Crosby. You've heard of her?
Yeah. She's been on Ellen before, right?
Yeah, I think she has. And she has a new baby sister on the way. And there's a viral video lately of her and her dad, Dave, performing Tomorrow from Annie. If you haven't seen, I think she goes by Claire Ryan on Facebook, like her social media. She's like a 3 or 4 year old who is the most amazing singer and just lights it up every time she sings. And it is adorable. I mean, I think I watched one Easter video she sang a couple years ago. And this was when she's like 2. And I was just like crying hysterically. I know. She's so cute.
Her dad was on The Voice or on
he was?
American Idol or something last season. He had something to do with one of those shows.
Oh.
So he's very talented as well. But he plays the guitar and it's...
And he sings with her.
And, yep.
Oh, it's just so cute.
And she
so.
Even does like the looking up to the sky, when I'm stuck with a day. And you're like, oh, okay.
Gosh.
You are going to be such a brat when you're older.
I die.
And she gets to fly on a plane. That kid, I bet, well behaved on a plane.
I'm sure she is. But every kid is different, Richie. And you can't control children.
They all need to be the same.
You can't just control children.
As far as I am concerned, they need to all be like Claire Ryan.
And I think we should stop having the notion that what your child does says something about your parenting.
Except for in some cases, doesn't it?
In some cases, I guess it may, but...
Not always.
Not always.
Sure.
So let's understand that there's a lot at play when you have a rowdy child.
Right? Like bad parenting.
Like perhaps a tired child.
Sure.
Or perhaps a hungry child.
Yeah,
or
why didn't they nap him or her or feed him or
Richie,
her?
Richie, you can't even say until you know what it's like.
I have a kid. He's 20 next month.
I know, but you haven't
20.
Done the toddler
Have you
stage.
Ever had a 20-year-old?
I have not.
Yes.
And what 20-year-old challenges would you say to me? Like, you don't get it until you've been in the situation. You don't know what it's like to have a child leave
you
the house.
You wait until you have a teenager.
Or get into drugs or something like that. Like, you don't know what it's like. You don't know how you would feel.
Don't know.
You don't know what the struggle is of having a toddler.
That's fair. I don't. Thanks for rubbing that
I'm
in.
Not trying to rub it
No, it's fine.
It
you don't
in.
Know what it's like to be me and not have the experience of a toddler.
I threw childbirth in my husband's face the other day.
Oh, really?
I was like, you don't know where I'm coming from on this.
Like, I hurt my leg playing basketball one time. It was
He's
terrible.
Like, thanks for throwing that base. I'm like, I didn't too.
But sorry, babe.
I'm just asking you to see my perspective.
I'm going to get you a really good gift that Richie's suggesting for a
trip to Houston.
I'm telling you. Yeah. And make it a dude's trip. When was the last time he went on a dude's trip?
Oh, I don't know that I've ever.
Okay, see.
But I don't know who he would go with. I don't know who he would go with.
Does he have dude friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
does he have dude Mormon friends?
Yes.
And then send him on a dude's trip to Houston. Well, let me think. When is it? April? May? What did we just say?
April 22nd.
Yeah, so baseball will be in. See if there's...
Send it to an Astros game.
Yeah, see if there's an Astros game and make it a dude's trip with someone.
We'll think it through.
I am planning through that. Austin, I hope you get this gift.
I'll tell him, don't listen to the Culture Hall this week.
Whatever you do.
Right.
What, babe? Why do I shouldn't listen? Okay, a couple more stories and then we'll be out of here. Rob Porter, you know who that is?
Yeah, he's going through it.
Yeah, Mormon guy.
Yeah.
Been married 2 times before.
I didn't know who he was until all this stuff came out.
Yeah. He recently resigned from
White
working
House.
With the White House.
He was an aide for Hatch, wasn't he?
At one point, yeah. Both President Trump and also Orrin Hatch came to his defense. President Trump, I don't think, has really backed off of it, but once things became a little more concrete, I think Orrin Hatch, that is the senator from the state of Utah, who also is Mormon, has sort of backed up and said, I mean, you know, maybe not. Maybe not so great. I mean, he's great, but I cannot be a supporter of violence. He apparently...
Allegedly
is a good word for it. Emotionally and physically abused both of his wives and someone else. Choking, in one instance, punched one of his ex-wives in the face, leaving her with a black eye. There is some discussion online via the blogger knackle that there were some bishops that were like, consider, you know, where this is coming from because your husband has a career career in front of him and what could this be and mean to him. Nothing confirmed, obviously, but that's not right.
Yeah. And when we don't believe women and their stories, right, yet again, that's not okay.
The title of this story, and you can find it, by the way, linked at theculturalhall.com, is it's from CNN, and it's called Rob Porter and Mormonism's Me Too Moment. And, you know, I'm of the mind of this, that if it happened, and there's pretty good reason to believe that it did, that both the abuse and also the fact that maybe some of these bishops gave poor counsel, I think that obviously that that's not right. But beyond that, I think that at any time there's things like this, we can take the opportunity to learn and to be better about it. Several points within you know, the story of Rob Porter and whether the bishops or the stake presidents handled it correctly, there's been emphasis on better training for bishops, and mm-hmm. I think that can be a valid concern. That can help with the interviews with the youth and also with the adults as well. I would never want to be a bishop for reasons like this, for reasons with the youth, in addition to the tremendous amount of work and sacrifice. But I think we credit our bishops for the best that they can do, and I think that some of the best they can do would be to be able to receive more training.
Yeah.
To, you know, because for those who, I'm trying to think of the exact word of it, but like some people over a policeman or over the law will take their bishop's word for it. That's a lot of responsibility, and I don't know that all bishops are trained accordingly. Additionally, and a sidestep, you shouldn't trust your bishop more than you trust the law. So
right.
there is that.
Well, and if a bishop hears something in his office that is illegal, and I would hope that he would have the moral character to report that, right?
Like, and there is some responsibility as far as that goes as well,
yeah.
Like legal obligation to be able to do that as well. But, you know, no one deserves to be abused emotionally or physically or any type of abuse. So if you find yourself in that situation, pray that you have the courage to be able to say something to someone and then to be able to do something about it so that you don't have to continue to endure that. But I mean, beyond that, it's not the gospel further, you know,
right,
for a priesthood holder or for women, because women do it too. Not necessarily physical from women. There is all types of abuse. It is not a gospel principle to be abusive to
right.
anyone in your life. So it's crummy, but we absolutely need to believe women and believe men and believe children who are saying, hey, you know what, this is what's happening, and not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye just because, oh, they can't because they're a return missionary or mm-hmm. the bishop or the Relief Society president or the primary president, any of those things.
Yeah. And I know for me personally, I feel like the Me Too movement in general, not specifically to the Mormon Me Too man, but it's just given me a little more confidence that my voice will be heard in mm-hmm. a way. And it's mm-hmm. not like I ever felt like I was silenced in any
sure.
way, but you do kind of just grow up with those, like, you just watch the women around you
mm-hmm.
and you see what they saw. And so I feel like the Me Too movement in general has given women more of a voice to speak up,
mm-hmm.
to even have those thoughts like, why doesn't my voice matter? Or why wouldn't it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Like just even asking yourself a question like that, you're like, yeah, I should be heard, right? Just believing in yourself a little bit more
yeah.
too. So I mean, of the negative things that have been coming out with this, I see that as a positive silver lining.
Yeah,
that it's,
absolutely.
It's giving women specifically more of power, if you will.
And then this.
Let's end on a lighter note.
Our final story. I'm going to do a little storytelling right now. It was August 26th, 2017, when Brig, yep, that's his name, Brig Murdoch.
Why are you making fun of his name?
Because I'm not Brig.
Brig?
I don't know. Have you met a Brig?
I have not.
I've met a Brigham, but I've never met a Brig. Maybe it's short.
Short.
He hooked himself to the rope as he was prepared to rappel down a 100-foot cliff into a southern Utah slot canyon. It was a procedure that Murdoch had carried out countless times, but on this particular day, as he leaned back, all of a sudden the walls of the canyon were rushing up on either side of him. He said, quote, cannot believe that what is happening. I realized I was falling. I thought, this cannot be good. He plummeted 100 feet and hit the bottom of the canyon.
Oh, ouch.
For a couple seconds, he didn't know if he was going to make it, he said. But a couple of seconds later, I felt myself breathing and I could hear the people in my group screaming. Murdoch said he fell into a seated position into a 2-foot deep mud puddle. The mud splashed into his eyes and blinded him. He said he was hurt and that he was cold, but he was alive. After hearing about his fall, Nick Smith, one of the Kane County Research and Search and Rescue volunteers, later helped rescue Murdoch, and he was surprised to hear that Murdoch had fallen from that high and also survived. 100 feet is really high.
Yeah.
He was a canyoneering guide for Zion Ponderosa Ranch, a place I've stayed, just fantastic. He loved hiking, rappelling, down climbing, and even some wading or swimming. Those things were no different than what he normally did. After his 100-foot free fall, which took place in the early afternoon, Murdoch said the first thing that he did was move his legs and feet to make sure that he wasn't paralyzed. I hope that we get the opportunity to be able to talk to him even after I made fun of his name, Greg Murdoch.
Right.
Because I can't imagine that you're now stuck in the mud and you're going toes. All right, toes, legs, right. Legs. All right, legs. Checking this through. He says, I looked up at the sky and said, Heavenly Father, get me out of here. Unaware of the extent of his injuries, later identified as a fractured pelvis, a compression fracture in his back and other scrapes and bruises, Murdoch said that he was able to pull himself out and walk out of the mud puddle where he had landed.
Oh my gosh.
He found a rocky spot to lay down again, and the two guests that he was with put all the backpacks on top of him to help him stay warm. One of the guests happened to be a trauma nurse. Happened to be? Nope. It's a miracle.
Uh-huh.
Brother Kyle told him to stay in a stable position. It was another miracle that the radio worked, their radio that they had. They never thought that they'd get radio coverage down there in the hole. Anyway, this whole story, you can read it at theculturalhall.com, but hopefully future guest of the Cultural Hall, Brig Murdoch.
I bet he knows what the water shoe brand is.
Yeah.
Keen.
Oh, yeah, he
totally knows what
most
it
people
is.
Listening to this do. It's just you that
just...
they were worried about hypothermia. I want to get to the point here. Let's see. When Murdoch was first arrived at the hospital, they cut his clothes off. That happened to me when I rolled my car into the Great Salt Lake
because
I was covered in the saltwater mud. They had to cut my clothes off. And I was like, oh, that shirt. I love that shirt. It was back when corduroy pants were cool, too. So I had these tan corduroy pants. I'm like, oh, my corduroy pants. That turned out to be a better thing.
Corduroy pants were never cool.
Okay. They were keen corduroy pants. Smith ended up being unscathed from his fall. Doctors checked him. No broken bones. Oh, this is about another guy named Smith. His first name I don't have, but another guy who had fallen. And now they're sort of pen pals, like buddies. Fall from 80 feet and 100 foot buddies.
Right.
Murdoch now. Here it is. Murdoch now is preparing for his next big goal in his life. Serving a full-time mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's currently serving a part-time service mission for the LDS Church, where he said he often uses the story of his accident to teach people in a California state prison near San Diego. Murdoch's story of survival and recovery was life-changing and inspiring for him. Whenever he feels down, he said he reminds himself that he survived a 100-foot fall and that he should be grateful to be alive. Quote, if anything else went wrong, my leg could be shattered, I could be paralyzed, or I could easily be dead. There's a reason it wasn't my time. The biggest thing that I've realized is that I have a purpose now.
So cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Because that could totally scare you to never climb again.
It's a third of a football field.
So, yeah, sure.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And then when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't able to listen this week, you'll be able to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.